I'm a bit of a version hopper, I have to confess. And I'm going to read from the NIV, but then I'm actually going to be quoting from NLT. So there you go. That's the way it is. So we're in Proverbs chapter 23, from reading from verse 19. Proverbs 23, it's obviously up on the screen. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes keep to my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Like a bandit, she lies in wait, and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. You'll be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so that I can find another drink? Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. This is the word of the Lord. I'm grinning. Let me get rid of the, because I'm going back to NLT now. Because what a description. And when I first looked at this, I thought, oh my word, where am I going to go with it? But I sort of prayed and pondered and looked, and I'm going in a certain direction, a slightly different direction. And I always, whenever I'm preaching, I wake up early, and I often think if I wake up early, Jesus often went out before dawn to pray. So often I'll get up and go downstairs, put my worship music on, and have my time, my quiet time. And this morning was no exception. I was up early, and I went down. And the temptation was to get straight into this, just tweak, check, double check, add to, delete, da-da-da-da. And I just thought, no, I think I'm going to spend it letting God speak to me. And I decided to do my own reading first, which happened to be Psalm 111. God blew me away with what he said. I couldn't believe. First of all, the verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, well, that's what Proverbs is all about. I didn't know Psalm 111 started with that, but it did. Or was it at the beginning or the end? I can't remember. And I was going to focus on that, the fear of the Lord. And then as I got to the end, or no, it's verse 2, definitely. My printer's cut out half of what I've said. Verse 2 said, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Do you know that's my final point? And I thought, God, you are amazing. You are amazing. You brought me to this rather than starting straight into what I was going to say. And then you've spoken to me. You've confirmed what I wanted to say. So let's just pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us. Thank you that you are in it. Thank you that it brings you to life as we read it. Give us a love for your word, I pray. And Lord, I pray that tonight you will speak to each one of us, and it might be a different message for each person, but Lord, we know you speak. And give us ears that will hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you probably know, we're in the middle of a series about wisdom, and it's 30 sayings of the wise, and we're in the middle, and I'm not going to get bogged down with drunkenness, gluttony, sex, envy. Instead, I wanted us to focus on our Heavenly Father, because that's the basis for how we live. Now, in the NLT, and I apologize that I'm now in the NLT, the NLT begins with, my child. My child. We've sung how great the Father's love for us. We sing, I am a child of God, that I, yes, I am. Have we really grasped what it means, the depth of being a child of God? We were chosen before the creation of the world. We're adopted into his family. We are precious to him. He delights in us. I remember this is going back nearly 60 years probably, a family who adopted two children. And they said to they made no secret of the fact that they were adopted. And in those days it was slightly different, but they said, we chose you. We chose you. You are extra special. We chose you. And God chose you too. You're twice chosen. You are two very special children. I thought that's a lovely thing to grow up with, actually. So we have this wonderful Heavenly Father. And Jesus tells us that we're grafted into him. And the only way that we can face life with all its ups and downs and challenges is to do what Jesus said in John 15, remain in him. For, and that chapter continues, without me, you can't do anything. We can't do anything. So that's my focus, remaining in him. I've got three brief points as a child of God that will help me remain in him and resist the temptations that are mentioned in our passage. First of all, listening. That's applying and responding to what God is saying. Secondly, ensuring that my heart is his. My heart remains in him. And thirdly, delighting in him and in his word. So first of all, in verse 19, NIV, NLT says, my child, listen. Listen. Now, I learned something really interesting, because we hear in the Old Testament, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God. Here it says, listen. And in English, we tend to say they are different. Typical example, I think Dan said something like this. Yes, I heard what you were saying, but I wasn't listening. We differentiate between the two. But in certainly in the Old Testament, and I've got a Strong's, what's it called? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's so big, it can't live on a shelf. It lives underneath. You need to be strong to lift it, and you're exhausted when you've lifted it. But I looked it all up in that. I had great fun going round. And both listen and hear appear in scriptures, but they mean the same. The Hebrew word is, I don't know how you pronounce it, Shema or Shema or Shema, I don't know. But that carries far more weight because it also means obey. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God, obey him. It means hear, listen, change what you're doing, apply it. I thought that was rather interesting. It all means, it means do something. So where it says here, listen and be wise, apply it to your life, respond, act differently. And Psalm, it says in Psalm 95 and again in Hebrews, today, if you hear, same as listening, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, react, respond, act accordingly, do something. That's the first point, listen. Secondly, also in verse 19, keep your heart on the right course. This is NLT again. Keep your heart on the right course. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Keep your heart on the right course. You see, remaining in him is the key to keeping our hearts on the right path. There will be trials. There will be temptations. It is tough. It is demanding. Life can be challenging. Can we stay the course? I printed this on two sides and I don't usually, it confuses me. We can make the course if we make a point of frequently pondering on his word, as my psalm this morning said. Keep the course. What was the verse? Running out of bits of paper now. Keep your heart on the right course. Keep it there. Remain in him. Frequently ponder on his word. But also, I think to do that, we need what my son calls a lettuce salad. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. That's how we keep our hearts on the right course. We draw near to God frequently. Daily, we hold unswervingly to the hope we possess. And that's not just, oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. That's a certain hope. And we consider how we can spur one another on, meeting together, encouraging one another, sending each other texts or verses or worship songs, thought of you, this will help you. That's how we can keep our hearts on the right course. And if we keep on drawing near to God, holding tight, we will stay on course. We can be assured because God is faithful. We're also told to listen to our earthly parents. Listen again, listen Don't just hear your parents. I think sometimes children are tempted to. My dog certainly doesn't. Listen, hear. May it make a difference. Listen to your father. And you see, that's just confirming the fifth commandment, honour your parents. And Jesus in the New Testament, he reminded them of this command, honour your parents. Now, we may not agree with them, but we must honour them. And we may have parents who don't believe. We must still honour them. I just read a book by Corrie ten Boom, In My Father's House. It's quite an old one, actually. And she says, Jesus was just a member of the ten Boom family. He was there. Now, that's a wonderful family to have been brought up in. And I was very blessed in having a Christian family where I think God was there. He was my Heavenly Father. A lot of people can't. And I know people who still cannot call God Father because of their father, the father figure that they have. That's really sad. And I think we need to pray for people who are in that position. Interestingly enough, the Bible does tell parents in Deuteronomy, it says, talk about them. Talk about the commands of the Lord as you walk along the road. I used to with my son. And I think it's Ephesians. It says, parents, don't exasperate your children. So the Bible does give guidance to parents because we're fallen. Jesus was God was the perfect, loving Heavenly Father. Sadly, a lot of us have fallen short of that. Thirdly, and I love this next saying. This is in verse 26. Again, this is in the NLT. May your eyes take delight. I love that word. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. But he precedes it by saying, in this verse translation, oh, my son, give me your heart. Can't you just hear the passion? Oh, my son. I think there's a huge weight in just those three words. Oh, my son, please. I think that's God. That's our Father, heart of God, pleading with us. Oh, my son, give me your heart. He wants our heart. And then the second part, the bit that follows on. May your eyes delight in following my ways. Do we delight? We're told that God delights in us. Do I delight in him? Again, my morning psalm, 111. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Do I ponder his words? Or do I think, right, today I must read chapter 21 and get to the end of it? If you stopped at verse 1, delight in it. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying to me? Take delight in his words. Martin Luther, I love this book. This is such an amazing book. It speaks, it's relevant, and I often think God speaks to me on one day and I think, oh, I must come back to that and it's different. He's not saying the same thing the next day. He's spoken to me from the one I'm reading. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me. Do we allow it to do that? Do we really make the Bible part of our lives so that if we're going down a wrong path, we just know I'm on the wrong path because God's word is revealing to us how we should do, how we should live, how we should act, how we should behave. So I'm just going to read that Hebrews bit again. And I'm going to insert the words, take great delight in. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, do we have confidence? Do we confidently come into God's presence? Or do we sort of come in and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been a sin. I love nothing more. I'm going off track now. I love nothing more than when I get to my granddaughter's to look after her the day, I knock on the door and I can hear, it's Gaga, it's Gaga. The excitement. I think God wants us to come to him like that. I'm coming, Lord, excited about coming to his word. So let me start again. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, let us take great delight in drawing near to God. Let's take great delight in drawing near to him. Let us take great delight in holding unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he's promised. His promises are true. Let's delight in hanging on to that fact. He said it, he will do it. He said, I am his, I am his. And let us take great delight in considering how we can spur and encourage one another on. Do we take great delight in encouraging each other, in sharing his word? And I believe that if those are in place, if I know I'm a child of God, and as a child of God, I will want to remain in him. If I'm listening, properly listening, applying, responding to what he's saying, if I'm ensuring that my heart is kept on the right course, and that may be through others encouraging me, through others spurring me on, but most of all, if I delight in him and his living word, and I think that last one keeps the others alive, I don't think we'd want to be greedy or drunken or, what else was it, a promiscuous woman. I don't think we'd be interested in any of those. Because our hearts are so focused on him. He's perfect. He loves us. He went to the cross to take our sins. And I often think, he was totally, completely, utterly human. Yes, he was God, but he also was human. And to go to that cross as a human, to be whipped and lashed so that we're told in the Old Testament you wouldn't recognize him. He'd have been so physically abused. He did that for me. I think when we realize that, we can't go ahead and get drunk and do all these things that this passage mentions. And we shouldn't envy wicked people. That was in the 24. And Paul says in Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we will go away from here knowing, certain, that we are children, chosen, adopted into the family of our Heavenly Father. And Lord, would you walk with us through thick and thin? We know you do. We know you are always there. You have promised never to leave us. Keep us close to you. Keep us encouraging one another. Keep us delighting in your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen.